giving and receiving. And hopefully you've been getting a lot out of these messages. The topic or the title is, I love you, do you trust me? I love you, do you trust me? That's the word from the Lord in Malachi chapter 3. I love you, do you trust me? I want you to tell your neighbor that God loves you and He wants to bless you. And He wants to bless you this morning. Will you receive that? And you will answer, amen. I receive that. Jill? Okay. I just want to remind you of some things that we've talked about. One of the things is that God owns everything. Okay? You remember that? God owns it all. And the second thing is that we are His stewards. Did you know that there's nothing you have that God did not give you? God has given you your health. God has given you your financial resources. God has given you your spouse, and you may say, oh no, not that. Every good gift, let me rephrase that. Every good gift is a gift from the Lord. It's a gift from the Lord. And so we need to be just grateful for the things that He has given us. So we are His stewards, and one of the things that He requires of us is that we invest His resources. Okay? We invest His resources, and the greatest investment is people's lives for the kingdom of God. Okay? If people were to ask me, where should I invest my money? I would say, find somebody that needs help and help them in the kingdom's purposes. Not just help. Every time you give a gift, you need to ask them about their relationship with the Lord. Okay? I had a fellow come. I have the most wonderful time being a pastor because I have people coming in all the time either wanting financial help or whatever. And I talked to a guy this week. He needed some help. And so I talked to a guy this week. He came in. And so I asked him if he had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, well, I believe in God. So we had a discussion. And did you know that this is the first time he actually heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? The very first time he heard the gospel. And he was like, and I said, so God punished His Son to take your sin. He punished Jesus instead of punishing you. And his eyes went, what? That's crazy. That is crazy. And I said, and Jesus said, you must be born again. He's like, what are you talking about? You must be born again. The first time he had heard the gospel, it was just a thrill for me to be able to share that with him. And so I have a wonderful opportunity to share Jesus with folk, and you give me that privilege, and I thank you for that. But Scripture says we need to give away what we have. Okay? We need to give. If you have Jesus, you need to give Him away. You need to begin giving Him away to other people. I want to have I'm going to get into my message now. In Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Scripture says, give and you will receive. This is in the New Living Translation, and I like the way it is phrased here. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more. Running over and poured into your lap, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Wow, isn't that exciting? The amount you give, what you give, will determine what you get back. So there are three areas that cause one to be reluctant in their giving. One is worry. They may not have enough. One is wealth. They have so much. There are people that really have more than they need, but they're reluctant to give it away. All they want is more and more and more. And so there's worry, there's wealth, and then there are wants. Because I want that, because I want a new whatever, then I'm not going to give to someone else because my wants supersede somebody else's need. Okay? So, is this a fair statement? If the Lord isn't Lord of your finances, He's not Lord at all. You think that's a fair statement? Yeah, I believe that's a fair statement. And so we need to check with the Lord on what He wants us to do with His resources. There was a fella, you maybe remember this story, we call it the rich young ruler. How would you like to be a rich young ruler? Come on. Well, this guy was a rich young ruler. And he had a lot of wealth. He had a lot of possessions. He had a lot of money. And to be young and to be wealthy and to be a ruler, I mean, that's kind of like where everybody wants to be. Okay? Yeah, the young part, yeah. And so this rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know, you got to keep the Ten Commandments. He said, well, I've done all that. Well, you know, he hasn't done all that. But he said he had done all that, so he did all that. And Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, then sell everything you have and give to the poor. Give your resources to the poor. And he was like, I can't do that. I can't do that. Because his possessions were his Lord rather than Jesus. So you can't allow, I mean, the Lord Jesus is not Lord of your life if he's not Lord of your bank account. If he's not Lord of your wallet. If he's not Lord of your resources, he's not Lord at all. In Matthew, I want to talk to you a little bit about some areas in our lives which will hinder us from receiving from God, the things that we need, sometimes the things we need, sometimes the things we want. One of those areas is entrapments. Okay? One of those areas is entrapments. We mentioned last week that planting a seed is like growing a garden. So you plant, so there's a law of gardening. One is you plant what you want. You sow what you are going to reap. You reap later than you sow. You reap what you sow. You reap later than you sow. And you reap more than you sow. Okay? You reap what you sow, you reap later than you sow, and you reap more than you sow. If you sow some seed today in your garden, I know Miss Pam's a gardener and she's getting her garden ready to go. Now, if she plants seed today, do you think she's going to get fruit off that tomorrow? No. It's going to take a whole season for those plants to come up and for the fruit to bear, and she can get that fruit off her plants. So, and it's the same thing regarding our giving. We plant in people's lives, and there will come a time when God will plant in our lives. It's not necessarily the next day. Okay? Usually there's a season, and we have to wait for that season. So I want to ask you again, what are you planting in people's lives? And what is your portfolio looking like? What's your portfolio looking like? What do you have in your portfolio? Your investment portfolio. Who is in your investment portfolio? As I shared a while ago, there are some entrapments that impede our ability to make wise decisions. Some entrapments impede our ability to make wise decisions, and these wise decisions have to do with finances as well as relationships and other things. And so some of the entrapments may be drugs, may be alcohol, and even relationships, okay, unhealthy relationships. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there are... Did you realize that there's brain damage that's caused by alcoholism? Did you realize that there's brain damage that's caused by drugs? Did you realize that there's brain damage caused by looking at pornography? Actually, we have a video clip that TJ is going to show us, and this is from the Conquer series. And so just want to show you about a three-minute clip of what some of the alcohol, I'm sorry, drugs and pornography will do to the brain. So if you would show that for us.
This is a scan of a sex addict brain, an 18-year-old sex addict brain. And we compare that to a normal brain, and at the naked eye, we can tell this is not normal. Now, if we compare that to someone who has cocaine addiction, this is a person who has cocaine addiction. As you can tell, in the prefrontal cortex and the parietal lobe, they're very similar, although you don't see the top part of this brain. The scalloping is about the same if we looked at this sagittally. The prefrontal cortex, for lack of a better word, is our CEO. It really controls every other aspect of the brain. So the whole front part of our brain, this is what makes us human in general. Usually in sexual addiction, there's some low activation here. Our CEO drops off. We don't make good decisions. Normally, in naked eye, you can tell that this is not particularly normal or healthy. This person is just not using as much brain because they're used to using the sex and other things to make their brain active. So the excitement, of pornography, so we'll see a lot of the same deactivation due to from cocaine and sexual addiction. You can tell again from someone who's a normal brain, we obviously don't see that degree of scalloping. It takes over the mind. Low activation of prefrontal cortex, bad decisions, impulsivity.
You can medicate your pain sexually. That's what happens with men who are in sexual bondage. They've been medicating the pain on the inside for a long time, and it happens so automatically, they don't even think about it. The left side of this picture is a normal brain. The red area is blood flow. This guy is able to make normal decisions. The prefrontal cortex is up at the top, so he's able to have impulse control to say, no, I don't want to do that. On the right-hand side is a cocaine brain. Notice there's very little blood flow in the prefrontal cortex. For him to stop his behavior just by trying, is that a possibility? No. Stop it. You love Jesus. Now stop it. We've got to get him what? Detoxed. Because it's changed the structure of his brain. Can his brain be returned to health? Yes, in about 2 or 3 years. But it's going to take structure for him and accountability that's going to help him. Here's what a gentleman's brain looks like who's been on internet pornography. He's looking down on the top of his brain. What should it look like? Should be as smooth as a billiard ball. Now, the right picture is what's powerful. That's looking up at the bottom of the brain. The prefrontal cortex is the top of the picture. Notice the massive amount of holes there. Is he going to be able to stop his behavior by trying harder? No, he can't. He can't. There's clinical evidence. He can't. Now, we're saying, well, it's just a moral problem. It's a moral choice. He's lost the ability to make a choice. That's the strategy. That's the power of sexual bondage. It promises you everything. Gives you absolutely nothing. It sets you up for total destruction. Well, what are we saying that someone...
So here's what drugs and pornography does to us. We have what's called the frontal lobe of our brain, which is our reasoning abilities. And so whenever we use drugs, pornography, other things, our frontal lobe closes off. We are no longer able to reason. The blood flow stops. And we use only the limbic system, which is rage, pleasure sensors, other emotional attributes that we have. It's emotional center, the limbic system is. And so we use out that limbic system to try to reason with. And I just want to ask you, how many of you have ever made a really good decision when you were in rage? How many of you made a really good decision when you were in panic and fear? It doesn't happen. And that's what, when you shut off the front part of your brain, you're unable to reason adequately. There's a passage of scripture in, well, if you were to read Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7, there are some, I call them curses. There may not be curses. Maybe it's just consequences of people who are involved in extramarital affairs, those who are involved in pornography. Scripture says, Jesus said, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Okay? And so in Proverbs chapter 5, 6, and 7, there are curses for those who are involved in pornographic materials or adultery. And one of them has to do with your wealth. Let me ask you a question. If you're unable to think with your frontal lobe, how many wise decisions are you going to make regarding your wealth? Not many. Probably not any. Okay? And you wonder why people who are have drug addictions and other addictions, why they choose that life is because they are no longer able to think properly. And like this guy said, it may take 2 or 3 years for that healing to take place in that person's mind. Healing can come, but it's going to take accountability. It's going to take people who will come around them and help them get past that area so that their brain begins to heal and they can start thinking clearly again. When I was working as a drug and alcohol counselor over in Portland, and working with, I don't know, scores, maybe hundreds of guys, I think I have a theory, and maybe it's not my own, maybe it's somebody else's, but it seemed like a person who started using drugs when they were like 13 years old, they could be 50 years old, and they're still acting like they're 13. And some of them never come out of that because it's gripped them so much. Now, when Scripture says these, so another thing Scripture says, it's if you are involved in adulterous affairs, it's not going to only take your wealth, it's going to take your health, it's going to take every part, it's going to cause mental problems, it's going to cause a lot of things. Drugs, anything that you become addicted to can cause those problems in your life. You know, and as I was preparing this message, I just began thinking of people who I know got involved in pornography or extramarital affairs, and one person, it destroyed his business. It destroyed his family. I don't know where he's living now, but he's not with his family any longer, and he had a thriving business, and now he no longer has a business because this has taken it all. He could not think properly. And no matter how many times I would counsel him or somebody else would try to help him make these decisions, he would always make the wrong decisions. Another young man who he and his wife were married for maybe 8 years or so, he got involved in pornography and now they're broke up. And as far as I know, he got so involved in it, he was not going to work. He was on the internet and just absorbing it all day. Now, they've split up, and rightly so. They've split up, and as far as I know, he still doesn't have a job, and I don't know where he's living either. So these kind of things hinder us from being able to make wise decisions in our financial situation. This will impede our ability to make wise decisions because I was on the internet looking, and you can look, and I did a search on the internet to find out brain injury caused by porn. And so the researcher said, well, it's every porn addict's brain has shrunk. But they don't know if the shrinkage of the brain caused them to become porn addicts or the porn addiction caused them to have a shrinkage of the brain. Well, here recently there were a group of men who had been porn addicts who decided they want to get out of that, and they've started this little club online keeping each other accountable. And after several years, they went back and had a brain scan, and their brain is actually healing and growing again. So, I think I know which is which. I think it's the porn that's causing the brain to shrink rather than the other way around. So that can cause us to have poor decisions regarding wealth and other areas in our life. A second thing that takes place and hinders us from being able to receive from God are lies we believe about ourselves. The lies that we believe about ourselves resist the blessings of God. I was talking to someone the other day on the phone, not anybody in this church. Talking to someone on the phone the other day, and this is a minister. And just doing wonderful things, mission trips, all this stuff. And they began sharing with me problem areas in their life. And I said to her, this person, I said, you really don't know how much God loves you, do you? And with tears in their voice, she began to share with me that she knew it in her head, but she didn't know it in her heart. And so I asked this person, I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how great is the belief that, let me see which one it was, that you don't measure up? And this person said, about a 6. I believe I don't measure up. About a 6. So I led her in a prayer. And after the prayer, I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, how real is that in your life? How real does that feel in your life? She said, I'm going to say a 1, but I don't feel it at all. See, a lot of times we believe lies. We believe that we don't deserve good things. We believe that we don't measure up. We believe that we're not good enough. And these things can hinder us from being able to receive the good things from God. And I just want to let you know that you, if that's where you are, then you're believing a lie. Okay? And God doesn't want you to believe that lie. He wants you to believe the truth. If you were not good enough, then Jesus would not have died for you. Okay? If you were not good enough, God's blessings would not be wanting, God would not be wanting to share His blessings with you if you didn't measure up. If you were not good enough. But, we can know it in our head, but our heart tells us something different. And so what we need to do is we need to get rid of the lie so that we can receive the truth in our heart. So I'm just going to, in closing this morning, I want to ask you a question. How many of you are here this morning and believe lies about yourself? Okay. So would you pray with me so that you can remove the lie? First, let me ask you a question. How real is that lie in your heart? On a scale of 1 to 10, how real is that lie in your heart? You got a number? Okay. So let's pray. And you need to confess your lie because I don't know what your lie is. But I'm going to help you get started and then I will help you close. Okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I have believed a lie. And this is the lie. Please forgive me for receiving this lie. I don't want this lie in my heart. In the name of Jesus, and by the power of His blood, I cancel Satan's authority over me in this lie and state the lie again. And I command every spirit that's attached to this lie and feeds me this lie to go to the feet of Jesus now in the name of Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, speak truth to me. I want to hear your voice. What is truth? Did the Holy Spirit speak to you? And will you receive His truth? Okay, let me ask you a question. Stating that lie again, how real does that lie feel? Is it less than what it was? Sometimes there are people who have projected those lies upon you that you may need to forgive in order for you to be free from that. Okay? And so you may have to do some homework this week, but I want you to receive all of the blessings God has for you. But if you can't receive His love, because of the lies that you believe, you're not receiving the blessings that He has for you. In the beginning of the message, I talked about the gifts that God gives. And every gift that He gives, everything that we have is a gift from Him. And you may be here this morning and have never received the gift of Jesus Christ in your life. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, talks about receiving the gift, not working for it, but receiving the gift, and the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life. And so this morning, have you received that gift of eternal life? Have you received that gift of Jesus Christ? That's the greatest blessing that you'll ever receive. And if you've never received that, then I want to lead you in a prayer to receive Christ as your Savior. Just pray after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. I ask your forgiveness. I choose to turn away from my sin. And I choose to turn to Jesus Christ and to follow your path. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I put my trust in you. I believe and know that you are the Son of God, that you died for me. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask Tom and Renee to come. And as they come,